listening to Resurrection Life Podcast with your hosts, Father Steve Mattson and Richard Budd, the podcast of the Church of the Resurrection in Lansing, Michigan. In today's episode, we talk about the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We hear a reflection on perseverance, and we listen to a poem written by Gerard Manley Hopkins, Pied Beauty, read by Chris Veniklos. Welcome to Resurrection Life Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Resurrection Life Podcast. This is your host, Richard Budd, and with me as always,
Father Steve.
How are you doing, Father?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, we're moving into the nice time of the year, as far
exactly.
as the weather.
And you know, I've been complaining that it's been long delayed, but now, and as I promised at the school masses and at the weekends, spring will come, and now we're in summer.
And we've kind of moved past the craziness of Holy Week and the immediate
good
aftermath.
Good crazy.
Of
these,
Yeah.
It's just good crazy.
But just busy,
that's right.
Yeah, you know.
That's right.
And we've moved past some of the early May, kind of Mother's Day, Holy Communion, Confirmation. We're starting to move into the summertime.
That's right. Well, we're not there yet, but it's soon. And we will have a long weekend, right? Coming up this weekend, Memorial Day. And it's always good on that day, if you're able to go to Mass or at least pray for your loved ones, and I'll pray for my loved ones who have gone before us, perhaps especially those who've died, and then those who've served our nation and protected us. So,
and then have some barbecue.
Absolutely. That's right.
It's a good, we're obliged. Yeah. There's no reason not to, really.
No.
So... but with kind of the official coming of summer, I know it's often a topic of conversation about how to best live our faith during the summer. We don't have the natural, maybe not natural, but usual schedules of the school year and the regular rhythms of life. Things kind of slow down a bit. People go on vacations. What is the role of the faith play during this time? And there's a lot, and that's not what we're going to talk about a lot for today, but there are questions about, like, how do I find a Mass to go to when I'm on vacation or these other things. But what we do want to talk about today is one of the early feast days in the summertime that really is a gift to the life of the church, and that's the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Indeed, yeah. So that'll be, this year it'll be, it's always on a Friday. And as you were pointing out earlier, it's a meat Friday.
Absolutely.
So you could also barbecue on the solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that'll be the 16th.
June it's a 16th. Movable feast.
Yeah, it's a movable feast. And then the day after that is always the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that weekend, we'll celebrate Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary, and Father's Day. So that's Sunday.
So is that a good weekend to then drink two heart?
Absolutely. I mean, there's never a weekend when two-hearted would not be appropriate. Some people would say bells in the summer is Oberon. I'm old enough to remember it when it was called Solson, but that's just a bit of trivia. On that day, on the 18th, we're going to have an opportunity. That's to be between the two morning masses. We're not sure yet, although I think it's probably going to shift from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. The weekend after school gets out, but we'll announce that by the time you hear this. But we're going to schedule a time for a ceremony to consecrate to the Sacred Heart of Jesus at 10:30 on the 18th.
On the 18th?
Yep, on the 18th.
Yep, so that's
Sunday. So it's convenient for people who are coming to the morning Mass. So if you come to what will probably be the 9 a.m. Mass at that time, you can just stick around or go get coffee and donuts, come back, and then at 10:30 we'll have, it's about a 15 or 20 minute ceremony.
And that's great.
You're invited to RSVP, watch the bulletin for information. There's a packet that you'll use for the enthronement, and there'll be a picture, and you'll have a, it won't cost you anything, but there's an envelope that you can give, sending money to cover the costs to the Men of the Sacred Hearts. And that's a group outside of, or within the Archdiocese of Detroit, who have this as part of their apostolate to share the devotion to both the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
this is spectacular. I'm just hearing about it now. I didn't know that we were going to be doing this when we came up with the idea to do the episode here. And this has been something that, from the diocesan level, I've been trying to come up with a way to promote throughout the diocese, is enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as making him the king of your family.
Absolutely. Yep.
So before we get into too many details, I thought it'd be nice to have a little bit of a history lesson.
Mm-hmm. And my understanding is you've written an article about this.
Yeah, so I just wrote an article for Faith Magazine that might be out by the time this podcast airs, maybe not. It usually comes out.
If not that week.
Yeah, it usually comes out a few days before the month begins, but for the month of June on the Sacred Heart. And a few hundred years ago, there was a heresy that was really in vogue called Jansenism. And Jansenism taught a few things. One, it taught that the commandments of God are very difficult to follow, and you really have no hope of following them. And you really can't be sure if God's giving you the grace to do it or not. Secondly, it taught that unless you have perfect contrition in the sacrament of confession, you can't have your sins forgiven. And so because of that, you never were quite sure if your contrition was perfect enough.
A recipe for scrupulosity, shall we say?
Oh, absolutely. So then you could not go to communion. And so you had, on a Sunday, typical Sunday Mass, almost nobody going to communion because they were scared of receiving...
A sacrilegious communion.
Exactly. Right. Scared of being condemned to hell.
Now, we have the other problem now.
Yeah, where everybody's going.
But we can talk about that another time.
Yeah. But maybe you've heard that one of the precepts of the church is that you have to receive communion at least once a year. That's where that comes from. Sometimes you read these precepts and you're like, why is this a law? Well, in that context, in that historical context, that's why.
And that's also why there is an obligation to confess any mortal sins once a year.
Yes, exactly.
So to make a good confession and to receive.
Mm-hmm. And so the Pope at the time tried to write an encyclical about the mercy of God to draw people back, to not consider God as much of a harsh judge as a loving father, but it just didn't get much traction. And so Jesus appears to Saint Margaret Mary, and in a series of apparitions, asks her to promote his heart, devotion to his heart, because he loves us. And he's not just standing there as a harsh judge waiting to condemn us to hell. Scripture says God desires the salvation of all men. And so he gives 12 promises at the time. We probably won't go through all of them, but unless you want to, but.
Well, let's just go through them. Do you have them listed there?
I've got them listed. I have them. If you just give
me a second. Go through that. Sure. There are 12 promises, and the first is, I will give them all the graces necessary for their state of life. And so, I mean, one of the things that Vatican II really clarified for us, and I count it as a great gift, is the universal call to holiness, this idea that every believer is called to holiness. It's not just the priests and the religious that are called to holiness. I'll give them all the graces necessary for their state of life. Number two, I will give peace in their families. I don't know a family that couldn't benefit from that. Mm-hmm. Number three, I will console them in all their troubles, for I will be their refuge in life and especially in death. Five, I will abundantly bless all their undertakings. Six, sinners shall find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. And that should sound familiar to you if you have a devotion to the divine mercy. Number seven, tepid souls shall become fervent. Eight, fervent souls shall rise speedily to great perfection. Nine, I will bless those places wherein the image of my Sacred Heart shall be exposed and venerated. 10, I will give to priests the power to touch the most hardened hearts. 11, persons who propagate this devotion shall have their names eternally written in my heart. And then the 12th, in the excess of the mercy of my heart, I promise you that all-powerful love will grant to all those who will receive communion on the first Fridays for 9 consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They will not die in my displeasure, nor without receiving the sacraments, and my heart will be their secure refuge in that hour. And, you know, that last one, it sounds like a little bit of superstition, right? But what is it that will be marked by someone who has a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and goes to the First Fries? They're living a life of communion. Mm-hmm. All of these things are not surprising in the least.
Yeah, they're just kind of statements of what Jesus says in the gospel.
That's right.
I particularly love the those first few because I feel like I've been seeing recently shades of this idea popping up that God maybe doesn't always provide the grace that you need to fight
against
sin.
That's right. You do what you get possible. And yeah, so some people don't have the grace to become holy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and I've been seeing this pop up again recently in the past recent years. And that's not what we know from church teaching and from the apparition here of Jesus to Margaret Mary. God doesn't want you to sin. He's going to... Now, your ability to receive that grace and to respond to it will need to grow. But...
This isn't an argument to go back to Jansen's. Try yeah, really hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Work hard.
It's just...
It's grace.
The deficiency lies in us, not in God's goodness to us. Mm-hmm. And so he's always going to be drawing us, calling us, giving the grace to respond. And we need to be growing constantly in that love, in that grace.
And really, I think what you're talking about is the disposition mm-hmm. to receive. So when you've got a Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home, in a place of prominence, we've got it in our conference room just outside this door, and that sense of the prominence of that, we're calling to mind and really living in the presence of the burning heart of love mm-hmm. that Jesus has for us.
And then when inevitably we do fall, we can go to the sacrament of confession, not in trepidation and like hoping that we get the formula all right and we're perfectly sorry for ours. We can just go and it's more of an act of entrustment mm-hmm. to God's mercy rather than fear before his power.
Yeah, I love St. Catherine of Siena, whose feast day we celebrated on April 29th. She says, the Father is more ready to forgive than we are to sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a crazy kind of love. Yeah. He doesn't want us to sin.
Because we're very ready to sin.
Exactly.
And I think it's very easy to slip into legalism. Like, I think it's a pretty common experience when, you know, you've committed sin and you're planning on going to confession at the end of the week. And you're like, well, I got to go to confession anyways. Might as well indulge in one or two before. Because we're approaching it as this legalistic. Well,
and I'll just say this on that point. I really do feel like the Sacred Heart of Jesus has stirred in my heart. Not necessarily that I can touch the most hardened hearts, but my heart has been softened towards sinners. And so I can speak to someone in the confessional who says, I had to go to confession, so we actually love sin. This mm-hmm. is the problem, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord does not want us to be ashamed of that. Mm-hmm. He wants us to, through his heart of love, to be purified so that we're freer to resist temptations.
Yeah.
We're never going to be free of temptations. I had a man stop by the office, and he was convinced that the temptations themselves were evil. Mm-hmm. Well, they are temptations to evil, but sure. Jesus himself was tempted. Mm-hmm. And so the freer we are, the more whole we are, the more healed by the heart of love, that of Jesus, the most sacred heart of Jesus, and the Immaculate Heart, the freer we will be able to hear the voice of God and respond.
That's why growing in a personal relationship with God is so important.
Absolutely.
In prayer and the sacraments, because we need to convert that part of our heart that just treats him as a legal, you know, judge. I mean, I wouldn't, if I needed to apologize to my wife for something, I wouldn't get in a few more jabs just so I have to apologize anyway. So might as well take advantage of the situation. But we do that to God.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
So there's a great feast to focus on his mercy, his love. You know, we have divine mercy, which we celebrated a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. One more chance to kind of return back to the heart of Christ And
just to remember that next day, we'll remember Mary's heart of love for us as well. So we've got a mother and Jesus, who is the face of the Father, looking at us not with with embarrassment or no, they see us according to our wholeness, mm-hmm. which is, and I've said to the students at the school, and I say it at Sunday Mass, if we could dare to believe that God loves us, He really loves us, that He's more ready to forgive than we are to sin, we would be freer, and there'd be less heaviness, that it isn't on me. It's about creating a space in our homes and in our hearts and in our families and our community for the love of God to burn away the attachments to the things of earth.
Yeah, because when we look at ourselves, we see our sin, we're looking at ourselves within the sin. So all we see is the sin. But God, He's looking at us not only in the goodness of our creation, but in the goodness of our recreation in baptism. He sees the fullness of who we are. And we're very focused on our sin. He sees the goodness, the grace, the fact that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to trust. You know, one of my favorite, it's becoming, as I get older, my favorite parable is the prodigal son. You know, for a while, I'd go to Mass, and when the prodigal son was read, I just would kind of glaze over, I think, because I just heard it so much.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know, one day I just had this kind of recognition of that part in the parable where the father is looking for the son, and when he sees him far off, he runs to him. Now, a father doesn't, especially in that situation.
No, exactly. Wealthy father.
He treated him as if he was dead. He said, I want my inheritance now.
Yeah.
So he offended him greatly and leaves and squanders it. But the father is always looking for, always ready. And the minute he comes within sight, he's running out to them. That's how God is to each one of us.
And let me just invite those parents in our midst, perhaps parents and grandparents whose children and or grandchildren have wandered from the faith, to know that that is the love with which the Father beholds your children and your grandchildren.
Absolutely.
And ask the Father, who's we see in Jesus, to have that kind of love for yourself first and for them, your children, your grandchildren. That eagerness for communion and for reconciliation is what is in that burning heart of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think, you know, it's really important that we celebrate this day. You know, we joked a little bit that it's a Meat Friday, but it's important to feast when we feast and fast when we fast.
Absolutely. And I would, this coming Sunday will be Pentecost. It'll be the end of the Easter season. We'll have the double Alleluia. That's also a day of great celebration. And then what would have been the octave of Pentecost will include our June event of culture, Whitsun celebration, which will be on Saturday evening, June 3rd. You can register online. There's no cost. It's for adults. And then if you've got nursing babies, they can come along mm-hmm. as well. And then a week after that, on the 10th, we'll have our healing encounter, and that's at 7 o'clock at the church. Whitsun is in Mercy Hall after the 5 p.m. Mass. Doors open at 6:30-ish, and the program starts at 7.
So a few more ways there to
celebrate
and keep the faith
alive. And then on the 16th, Sacred Heart of Jesus, and then opportunity to make the consecration on the 18th.
Wonderful. All right. Well, with that, I think this has been another episode, or at least chat portion of Resurrection Life.
Exactly. And I pray that all of us will take advantage of June as a month to remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And as we finish out the month of May, Mary's month, let's draw close to her who is the Immaculate Heart and Jesus, her Son, who's the Sacred Heart.
All right. So for another week, this is Rich.
And Father Steve.
God bless. The spiritual life is a battle, and our enemy does everything in his power to discourage us from remaining faithful to our call. In the following reflection from Sean O'Neill, we reflect on what strategies we can use to combat the attack of the enemy and persevere to the end.
Perseverance. It's very common for even experienced Catholics to fall away from the practice of the faith due to disillusionment, discouragement of the lures of the world. Once someone has made an act of faith and given their life to the Lord, there is a certain amount of hard work that is needed in order to stay steady on the path to holiness. The early stage of conversion is just the beginning of a journey. Often it is accompanied by great consolation from the Lord. When a person realizes that God loves them and that God's love is unconditional, it can be a life-changing revelation. There then follows a honeymoon period in which the person experiences encouragement and zeal. One of the side effects of this is an eagerness to tell other people about what God can do for them. They want the world to know how good God is. The words of Scripture come alive for them, and they are more easily inclined to pray every day. However, there may be many obstacles to overcome before they can reach the heights of holiness. Some of the main obstacles are persistent sin and a disinclination to give up the old way of life, which was leading them to destruction. God wants us to become perfect, not because he is an exacting and ruthless despot, but because the more we reject sin and pursue virtue, the more open that will make us to receive more of God's love. Unfortunately, the cleansing process involves pain and discomfort, and that's one of the main reasons that people drift away from the spiritual life and fall back into their old sinful ways. The spiritual life is a struggle and a spiritual battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So the question arises, how can I persevere in the life of the Spirit in such a way that I can eventually reach heaven? To successfully answer this question, certain decisions need to be made. We need to examine our lives in the light of the gospel and the way of life that God is calling us to. Are there companions whom I associate with who lead me into sin? If so, the decision I need to make in order to save my life may well be to dissociate myself from them. We may believe that we can somehow convert our friends and lead them to follow the same path of holiness that we are engaged with, but usually that's a red herring. The reason you are leading the life of a Christian is not because someone persuaded you through rational argument. The reason is that you have had an encounter with a person. You have met God himself, and he has changed your life. Regular contact with those who are likely to lead us away from virtue is almost always a bad idea. Similarly, are there any activities we are involved in that are likely to thwart our attempt to lead a good life? What sinful habits do we have that hinder us from moving forward in the spiritual life? These activities might include our internet use. Perhaps we find the lure of internet pornography irresistible. That is one area where we might need help to get free. Also, our use of social media might become an addiction that distracts us from the path. One thing that social media does is that it encourages us to care too much about what other people think of us. We may become desperate that our posts get as many likes as possible. There may be other unhealthy pastimes that we need to relinquish if we want to move forward in our relationship with the Lord. Perhaps food, drink, or drugs have become an obsession for us. Is God asking us to examine our behavior in these areas? However, persevering in the life of the Holy Spirit is not just a matter of giving things up. If that were the case, Christianity would seem to be a very negative religion. Instead, there are some positive steps that we can take to solidify our commitment to the Lord and to give us the stamina to persist to the end. One thing that can help us is reading good spiritual books. There are many books on the spiritual life that can be of great help in encouraging us to persevere. It's worth asking a priest or some other person who you trust to give good advice for recommendations of books that would enrich our understanding of the spiritual life. Also, reading about the lives of the saints can be invaluable inspiration to us and provides role models for us to emulate. Our parish has an excellent library of books on spiritual themes and offers many courses on topics related to the spiritual life. The sacraments provide great assistance to us in continuing on the road to sanctity. Taking advantage of regular confession can help us to begin again after a fall and can help us not to become despondent or discouraged. Being fed regularly with the Eucharist can also be a real source of spiritual strength and also exposes us to the words of Scripture, which in turn confront the lies we may have assimilated over the years and reinforce our status as beloved sons and daughters of God the Father. One of the best ways in which we can ensure that we have the support on the journey is through our relationships with like-minded Christians, especially relationships in which we get to share at a bracing level how we are getting on in the spiritual life. It may well be possible to find or to start a group in the parish where we can exchange testimonies about what God is doing in our life. To the same extent, seeking out someone who can accompany us along the road of Christian life and provide us with spiritual direction can also be an invaluable help as we go through life's joys and sorrows. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 that the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. We will encounter problems, obstacles, and hazards along the path to holiness, and Satan wants to discourage us and force us to give up following the way of the Lord. But if we persevere, we will win eternal life. This life that we lead in the world will come to an end sooner or later. Our true home and our ultimate destination is heaven, where we will live with God forever and find the fulfillment and joy that we were created for. So it's important to persevere in the life God has called us to, instead of giving up if things seem difficult and turning away from the path to freedom because we lost heart and fell by the wayside. God is calling us every day to step out in faith, to taste of his goodness and his love, and to persist to the end. He wants us to reach the end of the journey and enjoy the friendship of the saints and angels in heaven. Let's examine how we are living our life and ask whether there is anything that is hindering us on the road. Let's take stock of what we allow ourselves to be exposed to and consider whether there are any changes we need to make in the way we live our life so that we can continue on along the narrow path that will lead us to enter the gates of heaven when we die. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you died to set us free from the evil of death and sinfulness. Help us to return to you the love that you have shown towards us, so that in the end we can find fulfillment in your presence forever in heaven. Give us the grace to persevere in the life you have laid out for us. Give us fortitude and courage to face the challenges and disappointments of life, trusting in your abiding presence and ready to listen to your voice and follow your will. Amen.
We finish this episode with a poem written by Gerard Manley Hopkins, Pied Beauty, read by Chris Veniklaus.
Gerald Manley Hopkins. Gerald Manley Hopkins was born in 1844 and died when he was only 45 in 1889. He is considered one of the greatest poets of the Victorian era. However, because his style was so radically different from that of his contemporaries, his best poems were not accepted for publication during his lifetime, and his achievement was not fully recognized until the 1920s. Hopkins' family encouraged his artistic talents when he was a youth in Essex, England, but Hopkins became estranged from his Protestant family when he converted to Roman Catholicism. Upon deciding to become a priest, he burned all of his poems and did not write again for many years. His work was not published until 30 years after his death, when his friend Robert Bridges edited the volume Poems. His manipulation of the forms of poetry, particularly his concept of sprung rhythm, established him as an innovative writer of verse, as did his technique of praising God through the use of vivid imagery. Only after his death did Robert Bridges begin to publish a few of Hopkins' mature poems in anthologies, hoping to prepare the way for wider acceptance of his style. By 1930, his work was recognized as one of the most original literary accomplishments of his century. In many of Hopkins' poems, he celebrates nature and demonstrates with sensitive perception how God's grace and presence are to be found in all created things. Many of Hopkins' poems remind us of the songs of praise to be found in the Book of Psalms. In the following poem, the poet celebrates the fact that God's beauty, truth, and goodness burst forth throughout creation, from the blue of the sky to the coloration on fish, from chestnuts to a bird's wings, and even in the work of agriculture. God's beauty is irresistible and unstoppable and breaks out everywhere. Pied Beauty by Gerald Manley Hopkins. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as brined cow, for rose moles in all stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire-cold chestnut falls, finches wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow, and all trades their gear and tackle and trim, all things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle dim, he fathers forth whose beauty is past change. Praise him.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Resurrection Life Podcast. Please tune in next time for more conversation, reflections, and Catholic culture. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to drop us a line to give us feedback or suggest future topics to feature, write us at podcast@corelansing.org. You can find the Church of the Resurrection online at corelansing.org. Thanks for listening, and God bless.